Okay, so this is a poem called Emily Dickinson featuring basketball and EPMD. And everyone knows who Emily Dickinson is or should. But EPMD was a great and overlooked rap group in the 1980s. I read poetry out here, spindling the spindles of happenstance, its M-dashery like the closed eye of a winking man used for a record needle. I love when the laces of my suede kicks come undone like the best laid plans. And when I crouch to tie those boys up, I love savoring the shy glory of my girl's skirted knee, her stitched hem branching like the feathered stems in a blue boa she would never wear. There are too many boas in this world, and the first feather in their garish elegance, America, home of lovers and EPMD, breaking car speakers like high school curfew since 1988, someplace when I loved summer, the dash from one hoop to another, a stray kitten chewing on a moth in the Zionsville bleachers before we fed him a hamburger, and somebody's business as usual cassette untangling bit by bit like laughs. I think, well, right now I just sit and marvel at the fact someone picked me to be poet laureate of the state of Indiana. It's such an incredible honor to be chosen when we have so many brilliant poets in our state. And they, you know, I'm thinking right now of my colleagues here at IU, you know, Ross Gay, who's wonderful, and Kathy Bowman, and my wife Stacy, who was a brilliant poet before I met her. So it's not just home team bias, you know. We're really fortunate here to have poets who give and support the art of poetry. So with all of these other options and all of these other really terrific writers to choose from, it's pretty overwhelming that they chose me. Like many, many poets, I started writing to try to impress someone. But then later on, I realized that this was a very vital means of communication and expression. And when I say later on, I mean like a couple weeks later. It didn't take very long for me to get hooked on the idea of trying to create music with words. Well, I listen to music when I'm writing. For me, there's not a lot of gap between the kind of rhythmic intention in a poem and the rhythmic intention in a song. I mean, you know, it might lay itself out in a song with a drum beat, but we have stressed and unstressed syllables in poems. So there are ways that the two things sort of mirror one another in action and intention. And besides that, I mean, the English language has the potential to sound so wonderful. There are different kinds of programming I'm trying to set up in order to put poems in front of Hoosiers. You know, there's so many poetry readers and poetry writers in our state, and I hope I'm going to be in communication with them. And then there are also a lot of other people who don't read poems, and I would love for them to look up and see a poem on a billboard, you know, or on a bus, or reach in their pocket and find a poem and not even be expecting to find that there. I don't know how that works, but I want to put poems in places they aren't ordinarily found. So the poet laureate position is housed with the Indiana Arts Commission, but it's a state, like it's a state position. So at some point I get to go and read it in the state house while the legislature's in session. I don't know if I'm going to be reading my poem about EPMD while I'm there for them or not. I don't know what I'm going to read, but, you know, so it's housed with the IAC and I get to work with them pretty directly. And they have a mandate from the Department of Education to try to do work and, you know, to introduce art into the public schools. So I'm really excited about being able to go and work with young writers. You know, I was encouraged while I was in high school to write. And so I used to write short stories and things like that, but nobody ever saw them because they were terrible. And then when I came to IU, I found poems. I mean, it was pretty immediate. I think I was 19, and that was the first time I'd ever tried to write a poem was when I come here, yeah. I wrote it because I was trying to impress a girl, so the whole plan was to share it with her and nobody else, and it was a terrible, terrible poem. I actually have it still someplace. I saw it in one of my notebooks when I was moving maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. So I know it exists in my house still somewhere. I'm not trying very hard to find it, but it was a ghastly poem. Well, I mean, I had the idea that a poem is essentially all of the biggest words you can think of in, you know, order that makes some of them rhyme. That was my idea of what poems were. So there's just this, you know, all this polysyllabic language. It doesn't make any sense at all. But in some ways, I was actually not that far off in terms of the idea of poetry, which is, and this is someone else's quote, and I can't remember who, the best words in the best order. It's just that my best words weren't good enough, and my order was completely wrong. But the idea is right, you know, that we take the language around us and reshape it in ways that create something new. You know, probably 20 or 25 drafts of a before the poem is ready, and it takes about a year for me to finish a poem, but I take breaks from the poem. So I'll put it away for a month, try to learn some new things, come back and look at it again. And I do that. I mean, my most recent book is called Map to the Stars, and it took me 6 years to write the book. So some of the poems were being revised still in 2016, but I'd started them back in 2010. Right. The book before that is called The Big Smoke, and it took 8 years to write. And so there are poems that were written, you know, at the beginning of that 8 years, that were still being questioned and revised by right before the book was coming out. So, I mean, I think there's a rush because we have a very immediate culture right now. And, you know, 140, I guess it's more than 140 characters on Twitter now, but, you know, there's a sort of immediacy to thought and idea, but poems aren't tweets. You know, poems are poems, and they take as long as they need to offer themselves to the world. And any kind of trying to push that ahead or speed it up is just going to do harm. So, you know, at some point I learned that and just settled in. I'm like, all right, cool. I might not have any poems to share with magazines right now, or any new poems to share with the world, not because I'm not writing, but because they're not ready yet. And I'm not going to make them ready just to, you know, to have something. So I want to sort of reiterate this. We are so lucky in Bloomington. We have an amazing literary community here. It's not at the university. It's not in the town. It's kind of a combination of both of them. There are poets who straddle all of the various communities here, and there are readings all the time. And so what I hope we could figure out a way to do is also sort of make our fellow Bloomingtonians aware of these readings and aware of these workshops and events, because poetry is for everybody. So if someone wants to write a poem, they can just show up to the workshops. They can come to these Fountain Square readings or to the readings at the Buskirk or on campus. And Hopscotch Coffee has readings all the time, and they're just everywhere around us. If people are interested. Yeah. So, you know, it's really wild. I didn't write about my daughter at all for a long time, because everything I would try to write about her would fall short of her brilliance. You know, and this isn't just like sort of the, like, you know, dad with hearts instead of eyes stuff. She's an amazing, amazing human being. And I still don't understand how she chose us. But she is, she's so wonderful that the poems I was writing were just always falling short. And so it took a very, an extended period of being away. Like when I was working someplace else and I'd be gone for big parts of the week, for me to have the space and the time to sit and really reflect on my daughter. And so once that happened, I was able to kind of begin writing and thinking about the experience of being a dad. I also needed to come to terms with my own, like, sort of absent father and what that meant and how that influenced me. So, you know, there's a series of things that needed to happen before I was prepared to sit and write about her. So I'm doing it right now. I'm writing poems about her now, but they are very difficult to write, especially since she's a really harsh critic.